Hey everyone, this is John Puritz. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. This show is dedicated to each of us being better in all areas of our lives, mentally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. We want to help you be a better you because when you man up already, the world around you is greatly impacted. Here on the podcast, we don't believe you're an accident. We believe each of us is created for purpose, and this show is dedicated to helping you discover and live out that purpose. Again, welcome to the show, and let's check out another great episode. All right, everyone. Hey, welcome to another exciting, incredible episode of the Man Up Already podcast, and as always, super excited to have you here. Our guest today, super pumped to have him, is the founder of Success Champions Network, and he is the host of the Growth Mode podcast. He's on a mission, I love this, to empower professionals to build influential networks and businesses based on genuine connection and community support. Bottom line is, this is a dude that is all about building community, building connection, and changing the world around him. I love his mission, and I'm excited to have him on the podcast. Please welcome to the Man Up Already podcast, Donnie Boydman. We're live, and yes, you can.
Cool.
Good to have you. I want to make the correction that it's Bovine.
Yeah, man.
All right. So I butchered that on the intro. So my apologies.
Ah, shit happens.
Good to have you, bro.
Oh, dude. Sure. Thanks for having me on, man. I love having fun conversations and helping people out. So this is always a good time.
So I had shared in the opening, you've done a lot. Like, you're on this mission to help people connect. If I've got that right.
For sure. So, growing up in business, I mean, I grew up as a blue collar kid, right? You know, and in my world, you just kind of put your head down, got to work, and you retired. I mean, that was going to be the world.
Yeah.
I had no clue that there was this whole other world out there of being an entrepreneur, building businesses. And, you know, in my world, you didn't really ask for help. You kind of just did it all on your own and figured it out. And once I opened up a business, I not only did I get a chance to meet the dude in the mirror, because I don't think there's any greater tool on the planet to figure out what you're made of and actually like that dude in the mirror than building a business. I learned the power of connection. I learned the power of putting the right people together, opening doors. And it's been transformational for me and my businesses.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And I want to touch on that point that you just made. When you go from employee to entrepreneur, right? When you make that shift, the biggest hurdle that's in your way, and I think really, right, if you want to level up in anything, the biggest hurdle is the person staring back at you.
100%.
Right. And I know for me, what got revealed was not what I wanted to see, right? You learn a shit ton on, yeah, I gotta make some major, major changes.
Yeah. You know, the hardest transition in the world is going from employee to business owner, because it is such a mental upgrade in general. And, you know, just 2 seconds on a little bit of my story, you know, six
Please,
months.
Please, take more than 2 seconds.
Right. Well, you know, when I first launched my business, I was put under a non-compete that I don't remember signing. So my previous career, I'd been supposedly one of the top sales trainers in the country. I don't know what that means other than I'm really good at flapping my gums in front of a room, right? But now I had full intent on launching a sales training company, but here I was, now I couldn't talk about sales, business development, sales management anywhere. So I really had my hands tied. So 6 months in, you know, building my business, and you know, people should know up to this point, by some standards, I was living the so-called American dream. I mean, we built our dream farm, you know, had our house in there, had a second house in the property I built for my mother-in-law, and we were living a pretty damn good life. And so I had a very expensive lifestyle to maintain, and now I'd launch a business, had no income coming in. So, you know, I burned through my 401k trying to make this business go. And it got to a point that, you know, ultimately my wife's Jeep got repossessed. We almost lost the farm to foreclosure. And graciously, my wife cashed in her 401k to save the farm and get her Jeep back. And, you know, we went from there to now I'm the CEO of Success Champions Networking, a pretty good podcast, 5 best-selling books, blah, 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 blah. You know, but the moment I had to come in the house and look at my wife and say, babe, your Jeep just got repossessed and we're about to lose the house. And having to realize that I wasn't living up to my end of the bargain as a husband, you know, as a business owner and everything, man, let me tell you, that dude in the mirror was an asshole and I didn't like him at all. And that was tough. I mean, when you're building a business, nobody tells you that you're adamantly going to figure out what the hell you're made of, because you're going to get to some portion of that business where you're going to run out of your own BS and run out of your own damn excuses. You know, as I worked for other people, man, excuses were so freaking easy, because as a sales guy working for others, if your numbers were down, it's because marketing sucked. If your numbers were down, it's because leads weren't coming in. If your numbers come down, it was because the economy sucks. But when you own right. your own business, if sales are down, go fucking sell more. If your marketing sucks, go fix marketing, right? If the economy sucks, pivot. You know, you got nobody else to look at and blame. And so this is why I tell everybody, building a business is the greatest tool to meet the man in the mirror.
Yeah, it's so good, dude. There's a lot in what you just said. Let's kind of back up. You were for sure. in the Marine Corps.
Correct.
So publicly on the podcast, thank you for your service.
My honor.
Talk about that experience. How long were you in the Corps?
Oh, dude, I was not your picture perfect Marine, man. I was 4 years in and got the fuck out. Right. You know, I wasn't the kid that signed up to defend my country, all that. You know, I was a punk ass kid in high school. Teachers passed on because, I mean, literally teachers were like, I'm passing you, so we don't have a chance of getting you back next year. So I was that kid. But I went to the Marine Corps because I didn't know what the hell was going to be with my life. Right. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And so my oldest brother had went in and he did 24 years in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
He freaking moron, and I tell him that all the time, right? But I mean, honestly, I'm very proud that I did my 4 years in the Marine Corps and got out honorable commission, all that stuff. But I knew the day that I stepped on the yellow footprints in MCRD San Diego that I'd fucked up, right? Because now I'm a kid that didn't like being told what to do, didn't want to be yelled at. Now for the next 4 years, I just signed up for somebody to yell at my ass, tell me what to do on a regular basis. So, you know, did a lot of growing up in there, because, you know, one of the greatest things Marine Corps is beating the shit out of the person you grew up as and rebuild them as what they need you to be. And I still have some great, amazing friends from there. But it was a wild ride that I was ready to get out of as fast as I could. You know, and then luckily from there, you know, I went to work straight out of the Marine Corps with my best friend and his old man. Luckily they had a job, unlike a lot of people when they get out. You know, there's nothing for them, you know, and so they're starting with 4 years of nothing experience, or in some cases of 20 years with no experience and trying to go start over in the corporate life.
So was that what led you to sales?
So I love this question. Only reason, because it's a funny story. So when I first got out, I went to work for my best friend and his old man in a heating and air conditioning company, and I was a grunt. So I was a guy who crawled under the houses up in the attics, just dirty fucking way, miserable in Texas summers. And it was miserable.
Which are worse than Florida summers, by the way.
Oh, horrible. Arizona is the only one that's got us beat for sure. But so I got to a point in one of the hottest Texas summers, and this is 1999, so where I was going to quit. And, you know, my best friend, and, you know, and helped me get the job with his old man, yada, yada, yada. And I'm walking up to quit. Jerry, who's the boss of the company, you know, he's standing on the front porch and he sees me get out of the truck and he goes, oh, that's an I'm going to quit face. And I'm like, you damn right. I'm done with this. Right. I just can't keep doing this. He goes, before you quit, I need you to try something for me. I said, Jerry, I ain't doing this no more. He goes, hold on, hear me out. He goes, tomorrow I want you to come wearing a pair of polos and a slack. And I'm going to drop you off in communities and I want you to go knock on doors and see if people will let us come look at their heating and air conditioning units. I said, wait, I don't have to climb up in the attics or down in the basement areas and get all dirty. He goes, no. He goes, but you also don't get paid unless we do something. I'm like, I'm in. He goes, I want you to understand, you don't get paid unless we do some work on these houses. I said, I don't care. I don't have to climb up in that stuff. I'll figure it out. So Jerry would drive me out to a neighborhood. He'd take a case of water, stash it behind somebody's bush, and just drop me off. And then he'd go work a day. I'd be out in this neighborhood, no lunch, no anything. And no idea. I just go up and knock on houses. 3 weeks I spent knocking on houses and got nowhere. Right. So now I'm no money, making no money, wondering what the hell I'm doing. That morning, Jerry drops me off in this neighborhood and he forgot the water. And he's like, just get water off one of the houses. He's like, drink out the water hose if you need to. I'm like, all right, fine. So he drops me off the neighborhood and gets around noon and I'm just sweating through my shirt. I'm just tired. And I walk up and I knock on this lady's house and she goes, ready to slam the door in my face. And I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. And I said, can I just get a glass of water? And she goes, oh my God, bless your heart. Come on in. So she brings me in the house, sits me down in her air conditioning table. And she goes, all right, well, you're in my house. You might as well tell me why I'm here. So I just told her the truth. I'm like, you know, my boss drops me off in the neighborhood. I go knock on doors. She goes, well, what does he need you to do? And I said, he just needs to be able to come look at the system. She goes, well, call him up. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, call him up and tell him he's coming by. So I called Jerry up. I'm like, you're not going to believe this shit. He goes, what? I'm like, she said, come by. He goes, really? I'm like, yeah, come by. So Jerry comes over and we do like a small little job. It was like a $100 job. And I think I made $5 or something. But for the rest of that summer, I had to piss really bad because every house I walked up to, all they kept saying is, can I get a glass of water? They were like, oh bless God. Your heart. Come on in. So that's how I got into sales was I just stumbled into it, really, you know, at the end of the day.
Literally. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Gosh, you know, it's so, and then you did that for 20 years.
So I did the door-to-door stuff, HVAC. I did that for 2 years. I took that company from 300,000 to about 3 million because I took them into commercial and we did some other things once I figured out. I didn't have a knack for sales. I just had a knack of getting into conversations, which really, really helped me. But we ended up doing this massive install for a local pharmacy. And we were a three-person company, right? So we weren't a massive anything. And when the district manager for this pharmacy came and saw that we had done this job, he looked at me and goes, how the hell did y'all get this job? And I said, I knocked on the door, said hello. And he goes, seriously? He goes, y'all ain't that big of a company. I mean, our work trucks had stickers on the side. They weren't really wrapped or anything. And he goes, impressive. He goes, are you looking for other work? And I said, well, I'm always open. So within the next week, I was flying to St. Louis to interview for a franchise sales job. So I ended up going to work for Medicine Shop International, which was a Cardinal Health company and sold franchise for a number of years. Grew that company from $80 to $100 million. And then I got corporate downsized with that career. It's through the buyout of a Cardinal. Vice president of sales and I did not get along at all. Young punk ass kid. I told him I could outsell every one of his guys and he determined I wasn't a culture fit. So came home, bartended for a couple years, met my wife bartending. And then I was legit hired out from behind the bar to go sell commercial printing. One of my regulars kept coming through. Jane Miranda happened to be a vice president of a commercial printing company called Global Group. And, you know, I kept my resume underneath the bar top because I was determined to get back into kind of the corporate game. Yeah. And she came by one day and she said, you're still looking for a job. And so she hired me in to do commercial printing. And then I grew a massive division from them from scratch. And then my last career is I got out of commercial printing and I went for an organization called Sandler Training. And I did that all the way up until I jumped out and launched my own company.
So I say often that success is built on a chassis, right? Okay. That the fundamentals of success apply anywhere. And you're living proof, right? Your story is just a testament to that. So I learned early on when I left public school teaching and I got into becoming a financial advisor, I learned you got to talk to people. You got to be able to have a conversation. And there's a very, I think, a specific way of having a conversation that people can relate to you versus how often do people just open up their mouth and vomit all over someone and you repel people versus attract people. So, but you learn that through going through your process. What would you say are some vital skills that are, I think literally there's a podcast episode on here from last year called Sales Skills or Life Skills. What are some things that you're, that you take away and go, these are really important as you're building life?
So number one for me is curiosity. I'm fascinated with the people's lack of giving a shit about another person. So you can think about, if you look at it from a, let's go even a networking perspective, you know, people go to these networking events, these after hours, and they're taught that you should learn some sort of pitch, like how to pitch your business and explain to people what you do. Well,
right.
It's the stupidest thing on the planet, right? This isn't Shark Tank. You don't need a pitch, right? And if you pitch, it's all that is a sales maneuver, hoping somebody goes, oh my God, where have you been my entire life?
Right.
So what I found early on, and everybody knows this, people like to talk about themselves, right? And so the more curious we can get around their world and the things they're into, the more we can understand what makes them tick, what makes them, you know, achieve the things they want to achieve. And at the end of the day, people buy you and then they get what you sell. So by us being curious and really wanting to understand their world, you just get to learn a lot more about the individual. I mean, because let's be honest, people wear two personalities. There's usually a work version and then a home version. And for me, I want that all to be one personality. And the only way I can do that is get extremely into their world and understand who they are as a person. And it's one of the most powerful moves on the planet. But people are so transactional in nature and they've got to sell and call it networking. So this is what I've found over the years, is you got to get curious as fuck with people.
And I think the key is you've got to get genuinely, or in the Man Up Already world, is you got to be authentically curious. Like, it's got to be real, right? It can't be like, oh, I remember when I was training agents and we would teach, here's how you have, you know, there's a way to have a guided conversation where you're asking questions. Tell me about your family. Tell me about what you do for work. You know, what do you like to do when you're not working? But I actually care. Like, I really do want to know, because that's what makes this person a human being. You know what I mean? And you can tell when somebody's just going through, right, a checklist, and the person on the other side's going, you're not even really listening. You're going through a process. So I think genuine and authentic is really key.
So I struggle with the word authentic, and let me explain. Yeah, I think it's a real tragedy in this day and age that we have to say a word authentic, because that just proves that we've been grown up in a world where we were taught to be somebody we're not.
100% agree.
And it's not about necessarily being authentic. It's about being yourself. And there's a massive difference. I think authentic is a show because you're trying to be something you're not. So for me, I want you to be the geek that you are. Because it's fascinating to me. I didn't think anybody would do business with a country dude who cussed too much, wore a ball cap and t-shirts. And what I continue to find over the years is the more I let my geek flag fly, if you will, and let people know that I'm into some crazy shit. Like, I do Renaissance fairs. I love Harry Potter. You know, I love fantasy movies, you know, all this kind of stuff. I raise goats and have, you know, baby goats in my social media posts and the likes. And I do all that shit because that reaction right there, that's real, right? Because how many dudes who look like me, talk like I do, will all of a sudden talk about a baby fucking goat, right? I mean, you know, it's those type of things that when you can let people understand who you are as a person, you're not authentically trying to be anything. You're just yourself, and letting that come forward. And it's fascinating because the more you can do that by being yourself and just acting how you normally do, and the weirder the fucking better, right? Because what happens is the more you can be that you that is you when you're home, the more people lean in. I mean, I remember the first time I said badass on stage, and the people came out of the woodworks, right? They were like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that.
Right.
But there was a certain portion of people who are like, that's my guy, right? And then the more I continue to show up as myself, I find people and we geek. Like, the idea of going to a Ren Faire, my wife and I get dressed up in the Ren Faire garb. We go drink too damn much and people watch our ass off for a weekend. It's fucking hilarious. We have a great time doing it. Right. And we love it when people want to come up and take pictures of it because we spend a lot of stuff on our outfits and everything else. But there's people that look at me like I got two heads because I do that. Right. But there's also the people that come up to me and are like very nonchalantly go, I do Ren Faires too, right? They're almost whispering to me, right? Right? Or the fact that I got Harry Potter tattoos on my forearm. You know, I get people that, you know, like I did a speech for like 400 people the other weekend. And as I'm up on stage, I pointed that I had a Deathly Hallows tattoo. One gal after the show, she goes, I thought because of how you are and how you're so blunt and direct in the way you talk. She goes, it wasn't until you said Harry Potter that I felt like I could come up and approach you. You know, and it's because that's who I really am. I may have an edge to me, but I'm the same geeky guy that drinks too much rum, dresses up as a fucking pirate on the weekend, loves fantasy and Harry Potter movies. So it's not about being authentic. It's about showing up as the geek you actually are and then watching the people that lean in off of that. Because when we try and push the authentic side of things, what happens is that people try and be authentic and not be themselves. They're trying to be genuinely interested in people when if they just go into it being curiosity and geeking out and trying to understand, is there something that you both geek out on, whether it's Star Wars, Legos, whatever your geeky shit is, that you can build some really, really cool relationships, but you got to be into it. And you got to be also understand that if they're talking about stuff that you don't understand or give a shit about, don't pretend to be into it, right? Freaking understand that you may be freaking oil and water and that shit may never, you know, fit. And then it's about finding those people that you can have real conversations with.
And I 100% agree. I mean, when I talk about authenticity, it underneath it is be yourself, be who God created you to be, and don't be afraid to be that person. So I do want to make that distinction. I'm a Star Wars geek.
Right.
That's my deal. Right. But I'm a rock and roller, you know, and for years I did not, let that out.
Yep. And a lot of people do.
And I almost fell apart. Right. And now people know, on the weekend, some people play golf. I bang drums, you know, that's right? My game.
You know? Well, and you know, we can even take this a little bit further is we all grew up in society is there's things you don't talk about, right? You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about religion. You don't talk about world news. And that's this world we grew up in, which has led to a society of people who refuse to talk about those things. So we continue to create this massive divide of people who can't have grown ass adult conversations, right? So when you can't stand for your own beliefs, you have none. And there's a lot of people who are very, very, very adamant about their point of views of life and the only thing they are, but they live in a siloed world because they're only going to get themselves around individuals that believe the way they believe, that talk the way they talk and carry themselves the way they carry themselves. And so they have a skewed outlook on life because they have not put themselves in situations to be able to defend their beliefs and be open enough to hear other sides of the conversation. And so part of that authenticity is about letting it all out and letting your beliefs so you can actually stand for something. And you know, you're actually standing in your beliefs when you start pissing people off. And so many people are so living in this life of being extremely nice and loving and caring and everybody. And I'm not saying being an asshole, but if somebody's not telling you you're a fucking moron, it's because you're not putting beliefs out there and you're being so vanilla in the marketplace that you're trying to make everybody like you. And it's a surefire way to lose. And it's a surefire way to keep yourself mediocre the rest of your life.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I want to dive into that a little bit. Number one, I think you're dead on that we are now in this world where if we don't agree on something, I mean, we are so divided as a society right now, right? If we don't agree, there's no conversation. And I think, gosh, part of learning is to listen to other people's point of view. I love connecting with people and you're in the connecting business as well. You learn so much from somebody else's point of view. And it goes back to what you're talking about being genuinely clear, curious, because their story absolutely influenced, why they think the way they think, or what's their point of view. And I want to know that, because it's not just what you think, it's why you think what you think.
Yes.
That's the thing that I'm really curious about. Is how did you, in the story of your life, get to that place? Because then we understand each other a little bit more and have a conversation. We've lost the ability as of late, I think, to do that.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And it's because we grew up in this safe environment. Even as guys who are Gen X's, that, you know, we grew up in an environment where you don't talk about salary. You don't talk about these different things. And, you know, the only reason anybody was not supposed to talk about salary is because somebody was getting fucked. Right. And they didn't want anybody to know. I mean,
it's nobody wanted to know. Right. Exactly right.
You know, and that's why you weren't allowed to talk about those things. But the more we understand that if we can stand in our beliefs, the more we can become willing to open to different thoughts and different ideals. Because I think most people are just regurgitating what somebody else said because, you know, Jordan Peterson comes out and says something and somebody's like, oh, that's it. Jordan said it. That's the only way to be, without looking at somebody else's point of view and going, huh, maybe there's something there too. And then forming their own original thought around the idea. And the reason people can't amass communities and they can't create followings of people and can't grow their businesses is because they actually don't have a soapbox for themselves. They don't have these original beliefs. So people don't know who they actually are. They've got them into a generic box with everybody else, and you look like every other crayon out there. There's a Marine Corps reference for you. But the people, I mean, if you look at successful people out there, if you want to go look at, I mean, at some of your real-time influencers, they're people that have planted their feet on some very hardcore beliefs in the marketplace, and people have really leaned into their way of thinking. Doesn't mean they're right, but they have the courage to put themselves out there.
Yeah. I wanted to share this because it's context and relevant. I when we started growing our own independent financial company, I had been referred to, somebody had found me, sorry, in a local area, you know, and wanted me to be their financial advisor. And so I send my book out because it's a way for people to really kind of get to know what my beliefs are, who I am, what do I stand for, et cetera. And I think that's, by the way, a great way for people to get to know you, right? Put something down, who you are, send it out to people. It's a great thing. Anyway, they were a lesbian couple. And so she sent me a really well-written email that said, I don't think you can be our advisor because of what you stand for. Like, they didn't feel after reading the book that I was going to relate to them. And my first reaction was, wow, did I say something wrong? Did I, you know what I mean? And then my wife was like, first off, she wrote you a very respectable email. You're just not her guy because of who you are. And that's exactly why you sent out your book. And that was like, that was, I think, the first time where it was like, you got to be okay with that.
Yes.
You know, not everybody is going to like what you have to say or what you stand for. And that's okay.
100%. You know, the vice versa of this is, I was at one of our networking meetings and a young gal shows up and she introduces herself. And this is how she introduces herself. I don't remember what she did, but she said, I'm blah, blah, blah. I do whatever her company is. She goes, I'll work with anybody as long as they don't like guns and they're not Republican. Like, that was the exact words out of her mouth. And I just went, that's the dumbest thing you can say in the marketplace, right? Because you literally just alienated the entire marketplace. I'm all for authenticity, meaning I'm all for standing in your beliefs. But if you just disregard people strictly on some beliefs, now there's some universal laws. Like, you're a fucking pedophile, two in the back of the head, I'm good with that, right? You know, but there's ways to conduct business to not just flip off an entire generation. You know, so when you come out and you say, I won't work with you because you believe this way overall, that's a little tough. When you can 100% have your own beliefs in regards to, look, this is what I stand for, this is what I'm for, this is what I'm not for, and the likes, cool. Plant your flag there and pick your battle, right? But you can't just come out and be like, I'm just going to discontinue these entire people because they believe in a certain direction. open a dialogue of some sort so you can understand who you're going to work with along the way, because you are completely shutting down your ability to learn from other people.
Agreed. And what was interesting about that scenario is I had no problem that was there. You know what I mean? That was their marriage. Like I've got other clients that are to me, that's your deal. I was not the one judging. What was interesting is because of that, I'm a Christian man married, that they made a judgment call that's how I felt about them.
And that's unfortunate because
nowhere I was saying that.
Yeah, that's their one-sided belief versus understanding that just because we may be a certain way doesn't believe we believe the entire philosophy of that way of thinking, right? And that's unfortunate for them to not take 2 seconds to have enough courage to say, you know, this is where we stand because we,
that,
right? Yeah, do you have a problem with that? They immediately shut off the conversation.
Right. And I would have been like, absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But we're just taught in that society of you go play over here, you go play over here. We can't have a conversation otherwise. And it's, and it's tragic.
Yeah. Which is a good segue into what your mission is, to help people be better connectors. So let's talk about that and what you've grown since Repossession.
For sure. Yeah. So I really never intended to grow networking groups. Prior to launching my company, I'd done a ton of networking and I was kind of burned out on it. But we were 2.5 years into the business and I was doing the inaugural Badass Business Summit, which is a summit that happens every year in September in Fort Worth, right around the anniversary of me starting the company. And we were doing the first one and we hadn't slated them for September yet, but it was actually slated for April and we were 2 weeks away from the event and COVID hit. So now I had put a huge deposit down on a convention center, had 17 speakers flying in from around the world. And of course we can't do the event. And at that point I had 2 successful multiple 6-figure companies going. One was a podcast production company. One was a sales training company, because I gotten past the non-compete. And you know, but it took me really 2.5 years till I finally got comfortable, you know, with the business I'd built and had enough revenue coming in that we were doing some cool things. And we knew we were going to be okay when the pandemic hit because all of our business was online. But we also knew that the whole world didn't have 2.5 years to build an online business. They had to transition at 30 days at most. I mean, they had to move. So I tell everybody jokingly, I found it kind of felt like Liam Neeson at that point. I had a skill set and I knew how to use it. So we launched Success Champion Networking in March of 2020. And we launched it more like traditional networking groups that people attended. And then as we grew, we found this really, really cool niche in the marketplace, which was B2B only networking. And what we found is most networking is filled with a lot of people who sell business to consumer or B2C. And nothing wrong with the realtors, the title, the mortgage, and all those folks are great individuals. But if you sell B2B, like a commercial printing or software or MSP type stuff, and this really more hardcore B2B, you can help all the realtors, the mortgage and titles and the like, but they can't often reciprocate back because they're not talking to that level of clientele. And so we found this niche in the marketplace with the B2B networkers and the B2B people. And what we found is it led to a lot of bigger transactions, a lot bigger, you know, opportunities. And we were getting more seasoned networkers and that idea took off and we really started peeling into the market share. And then we really reinvented the process of how people network. We all grew up in networking under the idea of things like givers gain or always be giving. And I think it's all bullshit. Let me explain. First, networking has nothing to do with referrals, right? If you're networking and get referrals, it's because you're desperate and you need them. Right. Networking by itself is a portion of your overall business development strategy, not the entirety of it. So if you're only relying on networking to grow your business, you're going to lose because you're not going to be able to get enough introductions to companies, enough referrals to justify the time it takes to network. So we created an environment where we didn't give a shit about referrals. Referrals are going to come from your clients. Okay. So if you think about it this way, if you find a new amazing restaurant in town, the first thing you do is go tell everybody about this new amazing restaurant, right? You want them to have the same experience you do.
Right.
It's the same thing with our clients. If you overserve your clients and do give them everything that they dream of and treat them right, they want to tell others about you because they want others to get that same amazing experience. So referrals come from your clients because you serve them well. In our world, it's all about introductions. Introductions to the right people, the right opportunity, and the right places. So a referral by definition is Bob meets Sally. Sally, I've told Bob all about your services. He's excited to talk to you. There is a sales discovery call attached to that introduction. Like they're expecting to get in some sort of sales conversation.
Right.
An introduction is just two good people go meet, right? I don't know what's going to happen in the conversation, but I think there'll be some cool synergy. Go meet.
That's how we connected.
Absolutely. 100%. Right. Our world is all about the introduction. So what I will do with most people, and this is how we teach people to network, is I'm going to sit across from somebody and say, all right, John, who's your perfect ideal client? Well, let's do that right now. We'll do it live right now. Who is your perfect ideal client, John?
My ideal client is someone who is probably 40 plus years old, family oriented, and probably makes 80 grand plus.
Cool. Is there a particular industry or anything they're in?
Engineering is a good one. Aerospace, awesome. in that area.
Perfect. Perfect. Who else? What other industries out there sell into the engineering aerospace industry?
I really don't know.
Tell you, bankers are going after them because they need those higher level accounts and those engineers coming in. Your realtors are going after them. Your mortgage guys are in there trying to talk to them, right? So there's a lot of different industries that are focused on those key people. So there's more benefit for me because very rarely am I going to run across from somebody that says, my finances suck. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
Right. Do you know anybody that can help me fix my finance? Right. I'm just not going to hear those conversations.
Yep. However, like you said, we're taught to not talk about them.
Absolutely. Right. That's all, right. Don't ask for help, be a man, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I am going to constantly run into people that are talking to that same level of person. So now if I understand that you're looking for realtors that focus in the engineering aerospace sector, maybe they're in Silicon Valley, that type of thing. Maybe they're in the tech sectors, or I'm dealing with the bankers that are only working with the aerospace type companies and that type of clientele. Now, if I understand that, I may not hear the people who are having the financial struggles, but the bankers are, the realtors are, because they're trying to buy bigger houses and everything. So I'm going to sit across from you, figure out who those other synergy partners are for you. And I'll be like, all right, John, hold my beer and watch this. Let me show you how many realtors I can introduce you to. Right now I can start introducing you to realtors. Now I can start introducing you to bankers. It's an introduction. I'm not getting you to the end person, but I'm getting you to the person that already has your clientele. So you guys can form some beautiful relationships. Right. And so this is why we went to the B2B side of things. So let's say you're a managed services IT company. Okay. A managed services IT company, they don't need the realtors. They don't need the mortgage people. They need the telecom companies. They need the software development companies. So if I understand that the telecom companies are going after, the same type of clients, the manufacturing, the companies with 10 plus, 50 plus people. I also understand the software company can't handle them unless they're doing $300,000, $500,000 of expendable cash to build an app or something, right? Now I'm introducing people at a whole new level. And so I take the managed services provider, the IT company, and go, cool, let me see how many telecom companies I can introduce you to, right? I then look at the software company and I say, cool, let me see how many telecom and let me see how many MSPs I can introduce you to. And I can make those introductions all day long because I meet those people all the time out networking. And so now I'm making a bunch of very killer introductions. And what happens is I get the MSP to as many telecoms as I can. I get them to as many software companies as I can. Well, the cool thing is the telecom companies, they also need these software companies. They're going to be synergy. So now you can start hooking those people up. And as you hook those people up, the synergy starts happening. And now you've got three industries that are all going after this same marketplace. And eventually you get to this really cool place where you're all trading business back and forth and real referrals are happening. It's because I was able to get you to those people versus trying to get you to your perfect ideal client. Mm. You're creating these synergies. And most networking is around the idea of how can I get at you a referral to your end client when I don't have those conversations you need me to get into.
Right.
But I can get you to those synergy partners. And then changing that philosophy is why our network blew up. because we were so B2B focused and we were getting people to understand the power of this extreme level of networking where you're doing some really, really cool things.
All right. I mean, I just learned something just right there. It's very powerful. You know, and for our listeners, I think the overall message, Donnie, is, I mean, I love your story. I love where you came from and how you've worked and you find your niche. And I think the key is be open to learning. Like I find so many people are so fucking closed off in their world to, you know, this is the way I think, or this is how it is, or this is the box. And they build these boundaries and these barriers that don't let in new ideas and new thoughts to elevate you and grow and learn something. I just find it to be, it's so true and also very frustrating, because you can watch it with people who are very close to you, that your reality does not have to stay what it is. You can expand it, grow it, you can change it, if you're willing to just open your mind to new ideas. And typically those new ideas come from what you're doing, which is people.
Yes.
Like connecting and learning and listening. And I just think it's so, so important.
I agree. And let's be honest. If you're still hanging out with the same people you did 5 years ago, you're the same person you were 5 years ago, right? Your circle has got to evolve. And what people don't want to do, to your point, they don't want to learn. And the best way to learn is to get yourself in rooms that intimidate the shit out of you. But most people, because of their networking journey or whatever else, they're in these rooms where they know everybody in the room because it feels comfortable. They feel like they're somebody because everybody knows who they are.
Right.
And real growth often comes not from getting uncomfortable. It's from getting in spaces that intimidate the shit out of you. Like, I love trying to find the rooms where I don't know a soul and they're kicking ass and like they're doing amazing things, because I'm going to come in almost with my tail tucked between my legs because I don't know where I am in this pecking order. And so now I've got to go shut my fucking mouth, get curious as fuck, and start really getting to know these people so I can find out, is this somebody that I just need to absolutely sit back and learn from because they're doing some amazing and awesome things? Is this somebody I need to form a synergistic relationship from that we can help each other out, right? It puts you in a completely different scenario, but people don't want to put themselves in that position because they like the comfort of their current circles. And man, you've got to get yourself in a situation that if you were to go back to the original people you met when you first got into business, you're going to see that they're in the same place they were because they're not challenging. They're not pushing themselves. They're not trying to evolve into a better version of themselves. And it should almost be annoying to go back and hang with them. Not that they're not good people, but you've got to get yourself around the people that are more excited when you win versus want to pick you up when you fall.
Yeah. Yeah, two things that come to mind. Number one, the best place to be is the ignorant person in the room, or the most ignorant person in the room. The only place to go is up. And if you're, you know, if you move yourself from, okay, I'm the highest person in the room, and let me, like, to your what you're talking about, let me get into a space where I know nothing and everybody knows something. You're always putting yourself in a position to learn more, grow more, be more. And then the other thing that was a big takeaway from a trip that my wife and I took last year that has resonated with me and what you're talking about is the past is in the past for a reason. You can't, right? You don't go recreate it. You can't recreate it. It was each event and each relationship. And if relationships end or we move on, there's a reason for that. Trying to go back and recreate or it just can't happen. It's over, and it's over for a reason. You've evolved or it ended, whatever the reason is, you don't go back to it. You keep evolving. And what you're talking about and the mission that you're on is to help people continually do that. And I love it.
Yeah. I've been playing with a really interesting philosophy for me lately, and I'm still fleshing this out as I try to explain it, but there is no past and there is no future. And I'm going to try and explain this.
No, please. I love it. I agree.
Right. Because like I can ask somebody right now to, okay, go to the past right now. And you can't. It's like, okay, go to the future right now. You can't. So there's only the present moment. And in understanding the only present moment, it's not a moment. It's an ongoing with no end date, no start date type of scenario. So the past and the future are just stories we tell ourselves, right? And the more we, and the right now is the only time your mind can't control.
Oh, right. Good. That's really good, bro. It's so right? true.
Because every other great. Moment, the mind is making stories up.
That's right.
Right. And the reason we get stuck in a lot of places is because we're living out a story of we're pissed over how life happened to us or whatever else, or afraid of what might happen to us in the future. It's all a story. So your mind in this vessel trying to protect itself is constantly trying to put us in the past or trying to put us in some sort of future because it can control those moments. It can't control what's happening right now. So it's a battle of wits for ourselves to stay right here. And it's more about more than just trying to stay present. It's literally trying to be right now. And it's fucking hard, right? Yeah. You know, it's, like most people try and wrap their head around it. It's like you're not waiting for to answer the question so you can answer your next question. You're literally trying to be in the conversation as it happens. And it's very hard to do because our mind is constantly going forwards and backwards trying to figure shit out. Right. So I'm still trying to find the best way to explain this. And it's been a lot of fun to continue to explore this because it's a work in progress for me.
I love it. That's love the way you put that. Present's the only moment your mind can't control. It's really, really good, man.
Yeah,
really
it constantly makes me go fuck. Right? You know, I'll think about the times that I start daydreaming. I'm like, no. Right? Huberman with Huberman Labs came out with an episode that I was fascinated with, and he was talking about goal setting, and he was using marathon runners as part of the process, and or long distance runners even further than marathons, right? And one of the things he found is a marathon runner does not look for the finish line, because as they look for the finish line, then you realize it's 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that could sound like a very daunting task. So what a marathon or a long distance runner does is they pick a place in the distance and they run to that distance. And what he constituted it to was oftentimes when people set goals and things, they were raised in a generation that said, picture yourself on that stage, picture yourself in that house. And to do that, when you do that, the mind does one or two things. It either says, check, that's done, I've accomplished that. Or it goes, yeah, no fucking way, you can't do that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I talk about this a lot.
Yep. So it's that idea of have a big vision of the thing you want to accomplish, but let's run to the next, you know, milestone. And I hope I can say this right, but during the slave days was one of the greatest techniques on the planet to teach this. And so when the slaves, during that tragic time, one of the worst times in fucking history, there was, you know, the gentleman who typically was the head slave over them all, and I forget what the name it was, but they had this thing called picking to the stick. And what would happen is they'd be looking over these cotton fields, just these massive cotton fields. And I just can't imagine how, and I'm getting teary eyed just thinking about it, how tore up their hands were and just how disgusting of a fucking life that was. But instead of looking at that cotton field and going, oh my God, this is daunting, we'll never get through it, the head person would reach down and grab a stick and he'd chunk it out in the field. And then he'd look at everybody and go, let's pick to the stick. And so they would pick to that stick. And once they got there, he would reach down and grab the stick and he'd throw it to the next one. And so instead of looking at the overall daunting task, they would pick. So it's a horrible way of lifestyle to look at it. But I love this idea of picking to the stick, because you can wrap your head around that. Is it's not about projecting where you're going to be in the future. It's not about where you've been in the past. Let's pick to the stick. Let's pick to that next goal. Let's get to that next thing. And then we can figure out where to go from there.
Yeah. Well, I'm big on, and I learned this from my coach, the distinction between having a vision for how you'd like the year to go versus I'm going to set a goal and this is what I'm going to do at the end of the year. And life happens in the middle of that. And typically you don't hit that goal and then you feel like shit because you think you failed versus these are the things that I'd like to see happen. But to your point, here's where I'm going to throw the stick today.
And yes.
This is what I want to get done today, because successfully accomplishing that helps me stack and move in the direction of my vision. I know my vision is going to happen if I'm picking to the stick on a daily basis on the things that make that thing happen.
100%.
It's a great analogy, you know, obviously out of a tragic time, but I even feel like the fact that we have to maybe be careful on how we talk about that time. Look, that time happened. Nobody agrees that it was, I'm a Jew, right? Talk about, you know, World War II, right? We're not going to tiptoe around the fact that that happened. You know, I'm not going to get on that soapbox, you know what I'm saying? There are lessons to learn in everything, right? Well, and the point that you're making is in extreme adversity, always we learn ways to cope, deal, and those are teachable moments that at a tragic times you still learn from, because human ingenuity and the ability to survive, to adapt, to do all these things are really fucking valuable and teachable moving forward.
Oh, dude, some of the greatest mindset breakthroughs in life, and I wish I could remember the books to give them credit, came from guys who were in Auschwitz. And Thank Frankel. Thank you. That's him, right? Just mind-blowing that in moments of extreme, like, I wouldn't have survived those times. You know, I just think about myself being in that moment, and I don't think I'd been one of the survivors. As much as I would want to be a tough guy and say it absolutely, I don't know until I'm in that situation. But the mere fact that somebody can go through all of that and create lessons that we still live by today is one of the most beautiful things out of tragedy that you can ever see.
You bet. You bet. Have you ever seen or read Unbroken, the story of Louis Zamperini? Right.
Read the book. Don't watch the movie.
I've seen both. Right. But when you're like, how the heck
can anybody go through that?
Yeah. You know, but you do. You do.
So I just can't imagine, you know, being on that raft, thinking you're going to be rescued, and the next thing you know, you're getting shot by just crazy.
Crazy. Well, dude, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on here. Truly. I mean, we've gone almost an hour, and I know we could keep going. It's been an honor. I want to make sure people can find you and connect with you. Is it your DonnieBovine.com?
So let's do this. So guys, if you're still hanging out with us and you got any value out of this, do me a favor and go share the show out with other people. Tell other people about the Man Up podcast. Take a screenshot of me and John hanging out. Post that stuff out there on social media. If I see my tag on it, I will jump in and comment, engage to help show you some love. But having my own show, I can tell you the hardest thing in the world to do is to build an audience. So if you will share this out, it means the world to them. If you want to connect with me, successchampionnetworking.com is the website. Best place to communicate with me on a more one-on-one basis is just find Donnie Bovine on LinkedIn. I'm the only one out there. So DONNIE, B as in boy, OI, V as in Victor, IN. And then successchampionnetworking.com is the website. Thanks for throwing that up, John.
Absolutely.
And then on LinkedIn, I'm there every day. Come hang out, send me DMs, connect. Love to meet you. And just tell me you heard me on the Man Up Already your podcast. Would love to see you.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for that extra little shout out. It's true, right? We're all trying to grow an audience here and share valuable content, change the world, man. And I love it. I love meeting another influencer and connecting and meeting a like-minded brother.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of the Man Up Already podcast. We really do appreciate it. And I want to ask you to do a couple of things. Number one, subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening or viewing on, subscribe to the podcast, right? Help us continue to grow by joining the community, and also rate the podcast, rate the episode, right? Whatever platform you're on, you could leave a rating. Let us know your comments. Let us know your thoughts. If you can do that, we really do want your feedback. You could head on over to manupalready.com and check out our website. All the podcast episodes are on there as well, but also join our community, sign up on our emailing list. We're going to get content out to you. There's also a free resource there for you when you do that. And pass it on. Pass on the podcast. Let people know, right, what we're up to, what we're about. Speak about it. If you're a podcast enthusiast, please share episodes. Tell people about what it is that we do, what we do here, and what you like about it, and what you don't like about it. And that's okay as well, right? It's just getting the word out. And then finally, I want to thank a great sponsor of our podcast, Master Beef Jerky. Their slogan is bold flavor, tender bite. If you head on over to masterbeefjerky.com, they've got incredible flavors there. But if you put in the coupon code MUAP, you will get 20% off your order. I highly recommend you check them out. Master Beef Jerky, bold flavor, tender bite, and a great, great sponsor of the podcast. Until next time, thanks so much for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.